escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I was assaulted. I was attacked. And not just me, that was everybody who works 2 to 6. So if your name is Dan Ball, as I look across the studio at Dan Ball,
hey,
here on WEEI Afternoons, if your name is Ted Johnson, Stiz, Fitzy, Brian Frazoco, anybody who works on the WEEI Afternoon show, you were just told by Tom Curran, who'll join us Thursday, 3:30 here on the wrongheadedness show on WEEI, you were just told that's what you get, wrongheadedness. Is.
Yeah, I was loving that clip until the very end.
Yeah.
Dan Ball said that felt personal.
It was one-on-one, right?
Yeah.
It was Tommy Curran responding to Andy Hart.
Yep.
Just shots back across
like
the bow.
Like a troll on social media.
Right, exactly. And, you know, the verbal panda emoji was going to come out of you at 2 o'clock today, as happens when the shots are going across the bow.
Yeah.
And then the shot from 2 to 6 at large. You brought the whole group in, and not to say that Stiz or I are going to do a damn thing, but if you make Ted mad, then you're screwed.
Ted Johnson, Tom Curran just called you out, part of the wrongheadedness show here on WEEI Afternoons. That was Tom Curran with Jones and Keefe, about an hour ago here on WEEI, responding to my viral video and take from yesterday that I've been quite disappointed with the offensive line through the first couple days of camp, including yesterday's first padded practice.
You know, you being the only person that's covering Patriots camp that's saying that information, right?
Yeah.
You're the only one that's peddling the fact that the offensive line has been largely disappointing to this point.
Yeah, nope. I feel like quite consistently, and we should check in with the Patriots because Morgan Moses, who's been part of my anger or angst with this offensive line, the right tackle who's been getting beaten regularly off the edge by athletic, dominant pass players, by the way. Dominant pass rushers like, Kalavon Chaisson, first-round pick on his third team, who's looked great. Harold Landry, who some people believe was sort of petering out in Tennessee. You know who believed that? Tennessee,
right.
Down there,
right.
Post-Mike Vrabel. Those guys have been dominating Morgan Moses, who jogged off midway through practice today, went down the steps to the Gillette Stadium locker room. If I wanted to be a cynical bastard, I'd say he realized he stinks and he decided to retire, and he's just putting his papers in to go to coaching.
You did recommend him yesterday that he should go and focus on coaching for the next leg of his career.
He may be better off as a mentor at this point than a blocker on the right side of the offensive line. But yeah, most people who've watched have shown that interior and exterior pressures were a problem, that individual drills, there were issues with Will Campbell, sometimes in team drills, Morgan Moses on a pitch count or just stinks and they realize he shouldn't be out there every snap. DeMonte Jacobs coming in. Somebody called Marcus Bryant, who I'm still trying to learn, is playing left tackle with the second group.
I was told significant rotations.
Oh, yeah. Verdarian Lowe is absent and seemingly missed, even though most people hated him and called him Verdarian Blow last year, watching him play in football
That's
games.
Pretty good one.
I would also just simply look at it. So you lose David Andrews, who last year at this time was considered a starter, mainstay, captain, force on your line, right?
No question, yeah.
So you're worse at center.
One of the few known quantities you had in your offensive
Correct.
Line. Yeah.
So you're worse at center. Because you brought in Garrett Bradbury, who, based on eyesight test or metrics that you people like to cite, is not a very good center, certainly pass blocking wise.
Right. He was ranked 55th, I think, among qualifiers last year by Pro Football
Focus.
He's
a bad backup.
That's right. Yeah.
A bad backup.
Below average backup.
He's
in
your
the
starting
league.
Center.
Run blocking, fine. But again,
Jared Wilson, versatile, athletic, third round pick who they love. I know they loved his athleticism, and he might be a start at some point, but a rookie.
Yeah.
A rookie that you're not sure, A, what position he's going to play because they've moved him from right guard to center to left guard, moved him all around. Also, both those guys, you know what they have in common? Fumbled snaps and exchanges. Every flipping day, the ball's on the ground getting back to Drake May. That could also be a Drake May issue working with his
centers. By the way, versatility is also kind of a double-edged sword. You could be versatile because you're great everywhere, or you could be versatile because they're not sure if you're good anywhere. So
that's true. Jack of all trades, master of none.
Right. We don't know where. I mean, Wilson played at all three positions in the interior as a junior at Georgia, then moved and started every snap he played at center as a senior. So he's got a history of being quote-unquote versatile, but he was only a starter or a senior year, so there is a chance that he is still going through his struggles there.
And Mike Onwenu is still here, so he is at right guard right now, whereas last year he started the season at right tackle. Still one of your starting five. So he's the same, right? He's the same guy.
Yeah.
Morgan Moses, I would say, how do we know he's not Chukwuma Okorafor, who might get benched a week into the season and then decide to retire and quit?
There's just some hard miles on that body right now, man.
Yeah, there
are. He played a lot of in good football a couple of years ago, but that's just it's the nature of age. That's what happens.
Cole Strange, is he a proven commodity at left guard?
Not even close.
Because a year ago we were talking ourselves into he was a center, and some of us even thought his best position might be to move to fullback. Sad story, by the way, the fullback not on the field today. I'm not sure they have a fullback anymore.
Oh, no.
And left tackle. He's a left tackle, right? Because I know somebody who'll join us at 3 o'clock, Ted Johnson, who might know a little something about football, doesn't believe the left tackle is actually a left tackle. The hardest position on the offensive line. The most important position on the offensive line. For a team that will open the season against the likes of, I don't know, T.J. Watt, might have heard of him. He became the highest paid defensive player in history this year. You know who he passed up? Max Crosby, the highest paid player in defensive history this year. Who'd he pass? They face all of them. So this offensive line has massive tests to open the year. And what exactly has improved definitively? What's definitively better this year? Oh, they're going to say, well, wait a minute. Last year you ended up playing Ben Brown and Michael. You might end up playing those guys this year.
Yeah.
Guess who limped off the practice field today?
Who?
Garrett Bradbury.
Oh, yes.
So today, two of your projected starters for a defense, for an offensive line that doesn't look all that good through 5 days of 6 days of practice left the field. One limped off, one jogged off, and I don't know what he was doing. Maybe he had a dinner date. I don't know. Had to get to the theater.
So my understanding from your speed and passion today is that you are not going to be backing down from your take that the Patriots' offensive line may be worse.
May be worse.
Okay.
May be better. A lot of that hinges on one guy.
Will Campbell.
Is Will Campbell a stud left tackle?
Yeah.
Or does he join the long list of disappointing first-round left tackles? Or maybe just moves to guard and we say he's a guard, where he'll replace the disappointing first-round pick from a few years ago, Cole Strange, who, by the way, 4:30, we'll talk to one-on-one. Actually, two-on-one. Andy Hart and Ted Johnson spoke with Cole Strange, and I'm going to get made fun of because of it, because I had to stand in the middle and hold the microphone.
Nah, you're a good sport.
And let's be honest, Cole Strange is 6'4", 330. Ted Johnson, 6'4", 260.
Oh, so Teddy sized him up.
Oh, they sized each other up.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that. Listen, if you want to hear that, they definitely sized each other up. But one person who wasn't sized up or was sized down was the 5 foot nine, 185-pound guy standing between them.
I'll be
made fun of. Even you clowns were making fun of me when you saw the video in the back room.
Well, I mean, it hits you over the head. Like, it's a bit of an obvious kind of visual illusion that's going on. You're a great journalist and you're a good sport for doing it, but it's pretty damn obvious when it's 6'4", 6'4", Andy in the middle.
And I will also say, I am big enough man to admit, even in this small body, that I've been wrong over the years. I've been right over the years. Those of us who've covered the Patriots for a long time and actually decide to share opinions.
25 years, by the way, right?
25 years. Didn't realize that till Rich Keefe said it today on his program. Quarter of a century.
Oh,
I don't know if that's awesome or sad. Every flipping August since 2001, I've been at Patriots training camp.
Wow.
I really don't know what to make of that. Anyway.
I mean, it's a hell of a run.
It's a hell of a run.
Couple rings for your trouble.
Yep. And if you are capable, willing, honest enough to share opinions, especially early on, anybody can say, well, let me wait till week 8 and we'll see how the offensive line. No. I'm going to give you opinions every day. every day. Because when I didn't have a daily 2-6 radio show, I had Twitter, I had blogs, I had written updates. My job was to give opinions and observations on the practice field. So therefore, I give them. Just like Tom Curran does. I give him credit. Tom Curran will often give you opinions. Some of them sourced, some of them observational.
Sure.
Guess what Tom Curran is a lot?
What?
Right. Guess what he also is a lot?
Not right.
Wrong.
Ah.
He has his skeletons just like I do. I was the first one to say live on WEEI, the midday program with Dale Arnold, live from Gillette Stadium, N'Keal Harry stinks. I said it the first square drill he did on the first training camp practice. Dale yelled at me. And how was N'Keal Harry? How's his career going?
It's no longer going. Is it going? Is it currently going?
Okay. And I doubled down on that and I said, Dale, this other guy they have out here, Jacoby Myers, will have a much longer and more successful career than N'Keal Harry. How's Jacoby Myers doing?
Dale here.
He's doing very good. Hi, Dale.
You'd kill to have him on this receiving corps. You'll see him week one with the Raiders. He's a damn good receiver.
We were trying to talk ourselves into reacquiring him midway through last year, I think.
So I've had my hits and I've had my misses over the years, like everybody. I believe Tom Curran has probably had hits and misses. I don't know any details. Maybe you guys can think of something. I don't recall, Stiz.
I think we could find something from the year of 2023.
Oh, what was that year?
Let me present this evidence to the group.
This is an 11-win team, Trent.
The wins are everywhere. The wins are everywhere.
Ooh.
Well, I can tell you where they weren't on the scoreboard that year. That team, I believe they earned the right. Correct me if I'm wrong, Stiz. I want to make sure I get my years, my calendars, my math right. I believe they earned the right to pick very highly in the draft that year.
Yeah,
that's right.
Is that accurate?
Yeah.
I believe their quarterback's name is Drake May because of that season.
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
Correct again, Andrew.
I believe they won 4 games.
That's correct.
So
yeah,
that
that's
is
correct.
A third of basically a third of 11 games?
Yes, and they also saw a coaching change, the end of an era, because they were so bad. And
this is an 11-win team, Trent.
And I'm not even critical of Tom Curran.
Just 7 away.
Because I want people in my world of sports to have opinions.
The wins are everywhere.
And I want people who have experience. Tom Curran has been around this team way longer than I have.
Yeah.
He's probably 30-plus training camps in. Mid-90s, early 90s, Parcells, I don't even know, 32 years maybe?
Can ask him on Thursday. Gee, I wonder what else you'll talk about then.
Dude has seen a lot of football. Dude has talked to a lot of people about football. Dude was dead right when he told Monty Beisel, don't worry about it, you dink, I'll be here longer than you will be. Been almost 2 decades longer than Monty Beisel.
How? What? Where? Why?
We're all right. We're all wrong. If we have opinions, you know what that makes for? Fun sports talk. And this is sort of a continuation of the fight I got into on social media overnight. Got a lot of these responses. Hey, I go down to the media tent. I walk in handy. You in some fights on social media today? Because
they don't follow along that closely,
do they?
Is it
a day that ends in Y?
I'm like, why can't we have differing opinions? Don't we want that? We don't all want to live in Stiz's world where everybody would be left-wing and Trump wouldn't exist. We want to live in a world where there's a right and there's a left, and in the end, there's also a right and a wrong.
It's a way to characterize me, but sure.
We will be proven right and wrong.
Bit of a cherry-picked example, but we'll go with it with you.
Now, I can tell you one thing. I do not believe this offensive line will be good this year. I don't know if it's worse than it was last year. I don't believe it'll be good. I've already seen enough to think, oh my God, you know the bet I made. They will use multiple starters at every single offensive line position.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I mean, you're already halfway to that and you're 6 days into camp now.
I'll make another guarantee / prediction for you.
Okay.
They will use one of their first day one or day two picks next year. So a first, a second, or a third on the offensive line. Maybe multiples, depending on how this plays out.
Yeah.
They will invest in the offensive line, or they'll spend somewhere in the range of probably what they should have done this year, $100-something million to lure somebody to come play offensive line for them.
That's probably the best case scenario if it goes the way you're saying, which is poorly this year, which is, we learned our lesson and we are going to overspend like we did on defense in certain positions. We are going to overspend and make it known the Patriots are a destination for offensive linemen. So in the case of Ronnie Stanley, you know, who didn't necessarily make it out to free agency and get the offers that you were hoping to give them, at least they'll know, okay, the Patriots are open for business this year.
Oh, and Ronnie Stanley, because one of the guys I was fighting on Twitter fired back, like, are we going to pretend that the Patriots didn't make it known somehow, some way to Ronnie Stanley that they'd be interested and they'd have a lot of money on the table? Do you believe that?
I mean, if you watched one quarter of one game of Patriots football, you would have known that they were looking
for... No, but I'm not even saying commonsensical.
Yeah.
I'm saying...
oh, it's funny. There's legal tampering. There's illegal tampering. There's back channels.
Oh,
there's
little
this.
Wink, wink, nod, nod kind of deal.
I believe that Ronnie Stanley knew the Patriots would have a lot of money on the table if he chose to hit the open market. He didn't want to.
Right.
I wouldn't have wanted to either. You know why? Because I get to block for Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry for a team that might be the best team in football.
Right.
Or certainly might be the best team in the AFC. Might go to a Super Bowl. And I'm going to leave that to go to New England, where they might win 7 games, might win 8 games, might have a good quarterback, might have a good coach. I got a good coach. I got an MVP caliber quarterback. I got a great team, and I'll have a chance to win a Super Bowl ring.
And he
stayed there. That's fine.
Right, and that's the bed you made for yourself. You know, you've gone through so many struggles. We were, you know, just went through what 2023 was supposed to be. It's not a destination for offensive talent. Defensive talent, you were more successful, but guys who were playmakers and difference makers on offense, just not a destination for him yet. Hopefully in a year you may be.
Are you interested in hearing Curring's logic as to why Andy Hart is dead wrong?
Sure, give me logic and I'll decide whether it's logical.
Relative to last year, it might have been one of the worst offensive lines ever assembled. We sat up here and watched that Philadelphia practice, remember?
Yeah.
And it was just chaos. They couldn't even get the ball snapped.
Philly dominated that. Philly turns out good team, but still. Yeah, it turns out they can play.
Yeah. We watched the first day of padded practice yesterday and the somewhat question mark fourth overall pick, at least relative to him being the fourth overall pick, looked really good in 11-on-11. So he got ragdolled in this first time, you know, going against a superhero physique guy in Keon White. How did he play in 11-on-11s? Good. Jared Wilson, you know, capable. I mean, Cole Strange continues to be, in my mind, a guy who is a more than serviceable NFL starter who's been snake bitten, thus thrown in the bin of, yeah, this guy's a bust, can't play. I just don't think he is that. So I don't know why Andy said that. I don't know where he gets off.
Gets off.
Wow. Jeez. Again, right at the end.
Hurtful,
it takes
aggressive.
A little turn
at the end. Hurtfully aggressive. Because
like, good. Oh, geez.
Some of the logic I do think is logical. Now, I will say he's referencing joint practices against the Eagles. Two things. The Eagles were dominant. You gave one of their backups $100 million. That tells you how good the Eagles were.
No question.
A part-time player in Philly is now a full-time player here with $100 million in his back pocket. Great team.
Yes.
Great team. You haven't had joint practices yet.
No.
You might get exposed in joint practices because you might realize, oh, wait, if Chaisson and Landry are killing our line, what the hell are actual players going to do? Because those guys are sort of journeymen at this point in their careers.
Right.
Right. So that's part of it. And we don't know what Will Campbell is. We don't know what Cole Strange is. He's definitely been snake bitten.
Yeah.
Again, stick around, 4:30, hear from Cole Strange. He's definitely been snake bitten. We don't know what he is.
Right.
We don't know if he's a good left guard. We'll find out.
Well, here's what I don't understand either, because I saw this logic presented to you in a couple different ways as you were enjoying your Millers last night. Oh, Will Campbell had a good day yesterday.
I was sober. I didn't have any Millers.
Okay, well, I just, an assumption on a day.
I can fight sober, too.
An assumption on a day like that, when you're pushing back like that, is that there's at least one that gets cracked open. And I don't blame you when you do, because it's a little fuel to add to the fire. Anyways, the logic that was given back to you a couple times and that Tommy Curran just cited was that Will Campbell had a good day. Okay, fine. Maybe he did. That's great. So why is that valid, but the very clear criticism that these guys were getting for multiple days prior now no longer valid because one player had one good day?
Well, from Tom's side, I would say they're in pads, so that is more valuable than pre-padded practices.
Okay.
I give him that, certainly.
All right.
I also think there's mixed reviews of over the last 2 days what Will Campbell has been, because I think he's looked like a rookie left tackle. I think there's been highs and lows and pros and cons. And when he's in the run game and he's blocking down, I thought he looked pretty good. I think there's times where he gets exposed on the edges a little bit. I also think that's a weird thing. And I was talking to some of my guys down there, Giardi, Perillo, others about this.
Others.
He stretches. I think he's aware that they are short arms and the edge rushers are going to be something people fixate on to see what he's doing in his development.
Yeah.
And sometimes he oversets, gets out there too, and then boom. He's open up to some inside moves, some secondary moves. A lot of people say at LSU that was one of his problems because he did that at LSU. If there was a pressure, it actually wasn't off the edge. It was him overcompensating toward the edge,
right,
giving up the inside, that whole thing. But this isn't a Will Campbell thing. This isn't a, you know, Wilson thing. This isn't a Bradbury thing. This is in totality what I watched and what I see as talent on the field and what I see as lack of depth behind that talent. Understanding as I do over 2 decades plus covering NFL teams, every offensive line almost loses people and you have to replace them. And if you start out mediocre and replace them with crap, you're a bad offensive line.
Right.
And I think there's some of that on this team. For example, Morgan Moses, let's just say he's a little bit better than he's performed against Chaisson and Landry through a couple days of practices. the drop-off to DeMontre Jacobs is pretty significant.
Absolutely.
I think we all saw him last year, and a lot of people called this station and sent texts and tweets and said, I don't want to see that guy or Vidarian Lowe on the field ever again.
Right.
Well, you might see both of those guys on the field again. So you didn't make this leap forward, and then worst-case scenario, you lost David Andrews. This right tackle might not be good. Who knows what you're going to get out of Cole Strange at left guard, and the left tackle might be a left guard, so... The one thing I feel good about this team, the one thing I would say about the offensive line that I think is assuredly better, Doug Marrone.
Yes.
You have a veteran, experienced, knowledgeable, versatile, figure-it-out kind of offensive line coach. You have the best offensive line coach you've had since Scarnecchia made chicken salad out of chicken poo.
Right.
So that's a good thing.
That's a good thing. But then what you're losing, because last year, we kind of talked about this with David Andrews. You at least knew, you knew what he was going to be. He was one known quantity in that group where you knew more or less what he was going to be.
Till he left.
So, right, exactly. But while he was still there, you at least, you knew what you were getting from your center position,
yeah.
game in and game out. Vidarian Lowe, DeMontre Jacobs. They sucked, but at least you knew they were going to suck. What I think that is probably bothering you and why there's so much of a difference of opinion is that there are so many things that you have no idea. You have no idea if Will Campbell is going to grow into being the number four overall pick at that position or not even be a tackle. You don't know if Cole Strange is going to be able to shake being snake bit over the first couple years of his career. You don't know where the hell Jared Wilson's going to play and where they trust him to play. So you just, there are so many things that you don't know in an offseason where it seemed like you were willing to spend the money to solve some of these questions. They're still there.
There's more unknowns and less knowns. Than
absolutely.
You just simplified it quite simply. A year ago, I believed Mike Onwenu and David Andrews will be good.
Yep.
I think I can pencil them in, and Onwenu, I'm not sure whether it's right tackle or right guard, but I'm going to pencil them in and say I have a good offensive lineman there, and I have a good center. This year, I have Mike Onwenu.
Right.
At right guard, looks like they've locked him in, which is his position. I know everybody believes that's his position.
Right.
So you have one known commodity.
Yeah.
That's it.
You've
the
literally
rest
gone
are
down.
Questions.
You've gone down from 2-1, and I know 2 out of 5 is bad, but you've somehow managed to go down from 2 known quantities to 1 known quantity.
You went from 20% assuredness to 10% assuredness.
Right.
That means 90% uncertainty.
Exactly.
I think.
Or 60-80.
60-80.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or 40-20, whichever direction you want to go.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just typical as you do. I had an argument. You put it into some numerical form right there. Analytics are great. You have more uncertainty. That's what the analytics say. Tom Curran, appreciate you. Mean it. We both have opinions. We're both impassioned. We've both butted heads over the year. I think some ways that's because we're very similar. We're knowledgeable, stubborn. We're wise asses.
You're wrong-headed.
Some arrogance.
Apparently.
We're thick-headed and wrong-headed. I think there's a lot of similarities, and as they say, sometimes similar things butt heads, and we do. But appreciate the content to open the show here.
And
Dan Ball, you're also included. That's what we know. He took on the whole afternoon crew, not just Hart.
Absolutely.
Dan Ball, Stiz, Ted Johnson, I see you roaming the hallways. Tom Curran called you out, buddy. 2-6, we are wrong-headedness radio
here. If we go down, we are going down together, and I would recommend tuning in on Thursday at 3:30 because that is going to be one hell of an opening conversation between the two of you.
It'll absolutely be fun, but we're two professionals. We will handle it with professionalism
because all right.
That is what we do. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we actually got to get to the story of the day for me, and that's Drake May. I have my own views on Drake May. I'm seeing mixed reviews on Drake May from social media, Twitter, and such, the blogs. We will update you what happened with the franchise quarterback on the football field. I didn't love everything I saw. We'll talk about it next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball for the first.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This time, reminder here on WEEI Afternoons, Big Johnson and Little Hart will be talking to Cole Strange about that very topic, Drake May's leadership and what he's doing in his second season as the Patriots starting quarterback. That was Mike Vrabel from SiriusXM NFL talking about Drake May and his evolution. And we play that because Drake May was one of the topics of the day down at the training camp fields in Foxborough.
As he often is.
As he should be.
Yeah.
He's the quarterback. He's the most important person in the franchise right now.
He was number one on my list of you can't get hurt while number two is currently hurt.
Yeah, that is true. They lost their best player yesterday. A little update on Christian Gonzalez. He was out there.
Yep.
So, and Jordan Schultz, who I don't think is affiliated anymore, but used to be with Fox Sports.
Yeah.
Says it will not affect, reported on Twitter that it will not affect Gonzalez's availability for week one of the regular season. So take that for what it's worth. He was out there, so I know he can still walk.
Right.
And he did have one of those sleeves on his leg. So they do that for blood flow and whatever, recovery, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, Drake May. Did he have a good day or a bad day down at Gillette Stadium?
He seemed to have a very meh day.
I think meh would be good. And you put it into numbers, which a lot of people know. I don't do the numbers. I don't do play-by-play. I watch, and
yeah.
I see how many plays you make, how many plays you miss. Right. So 11 on 11, you took these numbers. Do you have a source on these that you would like
This is
that?
Mark Daniels.
Mark Daniels. Yep. My guy, Mark Daniels. He had Drake May as 7 for 14 in 11 on 11. You know what they call that?
500.
50% passer.
Yeah.
You know what they call that in the year 2025?
Bad.
Abysmal.
Yeah.
1947, when the ball was a rugby ball, that was good numbers right there.
7 of 14. Yeah.
Not anymore, my friend.
When you're averaging, you know, 2.5 yards per pass.
You could shot put the ball 2 yards and it got there. We were great. Okay. Drake May in 7 on 7. 3 of 8. I know it's not as easy a number, but I can tell you that's less than 50%.
37.5, somewhere around.
I'll take your word for it. Drake May was very meh today. Also, so were some of his receivers. He threw a beautiful sideline back shoulder throw to Kyle Williams. You know what he did with it?
Drop it.
Yes, he did.
All right.
Dropped it. So
this
that's
going great so
that's
far.
That's mixed in with the incompletions.
Yeah.
But the thing that concerned me and has been something that has been a, I guess, a mild growing concern. You know I love Drake May.
Yeah.
I think he is physically gifted. I think that play he made that everybody saw on social media on Saturday to Pop Douglas is what he is at his best and what he can do that not a lot of people on the planet can do. Roll right, back foot, boom, just flick the ball 55, 60 yards right into the receiver's hands. That's special stuff
right
there.
Yeah, that
special
power and accuracy, scrambling near the sideline, that kind of stuff. That
awesome.
Is where that's one of the biggest elements of his game where the people who want to do pie in the sky comparison to Josh Allen, that's something that Allen, statistically speaking, does better than anybody in the game, is throw within a couple yards of the sideline and make those kind of completions.
Right.
So if he has any element of that, absolutely love that.
The problem is, I don't believe that wins in the National Football League. It can
not
win a game.
Not if that's only what you're doing.
Correct. You win in the National Football League with the simple stuff, the easy stuff, the 5 yard out, the little corner route in the red zone. When a guy is open, you know what you need to do?
Hit him.
Hit him.
Yeah, quickly.
And Drake May struggled a little bit in that today. There was a, I think it was Hunter Henry in the red zone. They did a lot of red zone work early. It was like 2-on-2s, then it was 7-on-7, then it was 11-on-11, and they did it in the red zone. And Hunter Henry, I believe, was the tight end who broke on just a little out, little corner, and back corner, he's open. He's open by 1.5 yards. Good separation. Drake May missed him by probably 3 yards in the other direction. You can't do that.
No.
That is football math. That 7 just became 3, and now when you lose the game by 3 points, it's because you missed that throw. He had a corner route to, I believe, Kyle Williams' right side, trying to sort of drop it over his shoulder into the bucket. Kyle Williams is behind the defensive back. I won't say it's a super easy throw, but it's an NFL throw.
Right.
I need my starting quarterback to make it. Drake May overthrows him, and immediately did the hands on his head, like, I just effed that up. I can't do that. And I've had this growing concern going back to last year. When he rolls out and he's on the move, he's more accurate and he's a better passer, more zip, more touch. touch, more everything than when he's just standing in the pocket as a traditional pocket passer. For whatever reason, there was a quick out in the goal line, and it was a catch, I think, to DeMario Douglas, but he had to go down and get it at his ankles, and it kind of faded away from him. It was not a good throw.
Yeah.
And somebody I was with was like, couldn't that ball have been up a little bit in a little better position? I go, yeah, and if he was rolling out, I bet it would have been. But because he was flat-footed in the pocket, he's just not as good a pocket passer.
And he knows it, too. I cited the number yesterday. He was fourth in the NFL in scramble attempts last year, despite only playing in 13 games. Like, he had, you know, full-time starting quarterbacks around him on that list, so I think it's to the point where either he knows it or it's just a knee-jerk reaction. Get out of the pocket as soon as you can. And so it just seems to kind of be baked into the pie with his game. And I would add to that that when you're in Josh McDaniels' offense, that's an even bigger issue. I was reading in the Globe this morning talking about how McDaniels is showing highlight tape from the glory days of Brady operating his offense to try to teach these guys on the fly this is how we're going to operate it. Not to say that he's going to run out the exact same offense like we talked about, but there are going to be certain pillars that are going to stay the same. And those quick passes, moving the offense quickly, just, you know, moving the sticks, that's going to be hopefully a bigger part of this offense. And if he can't do that, then that's already kind of a mismatch between what's going to get called and what's going to get executed.
And I don't care who you think the great quarterbacks are in the NFL right now, whether it's Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, those guys.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow, a little bit different beast, and he has two elite receivers that sort of carry that game in a certain direction. But those other three guys I mentioned, they can make the crazy throws. Roll out, you said it, Josh Allen. Oh, my God, is he on the sideline? Patrick Mahomes does that. Sideline, delay.
Yeah,
is he going out of bounds? Throw back across.
It's part of the modern quarterback.
It's also not why they win.
Right.
You know why Patrick Mahomes wins a lot?
Because he throws it right over the middle to Travis Kelce.
Travis Kelce
10 times
runs
a game.
Down, yeah. Does a head fake. He's in zone. He settles, and he hits him right in the hands. He gets a little run after catch, and boom, we move the sticks.
Right.
Same thing with Lamar Jackson. Mark Andrews, his tight end, middle of the field, making plays, like quick throws, different things like that. Same thing with Josh Allen. For years it was, well, Josh Allen can hit you on the 35-yard over, but sometimes he gives up the 5-yard crosser to do that or misses the 5-yard. You can't miss those. You have to hit those throws to win consistently in the NFL. And that's where I thought today in particular, Drake May was lacking. And I'm not, again, it was one practice. Anybody who wants to push back for the wrongheadedness from 2 to 6 here on WEEI Afternoons, it was one practice. Might be two practices. I unfortunately wasn't there on Saturday. There were questions about his accuracy from a lot of people on Saturday that the wow throw overshadowed some missed easy throws. And I do think that is what will decide what Drake May is going to be as a quarterback in the NFL. The offensive line is one thing, the people around him, but he can't control that. He can control, does he become a better pocket passer? Does he not miss the 5-yard out, the 6 yards, the 8 yards, the crosser, the ones that he's going to have to hit to? Who's the best receiver on this team? Everybody has said it. The most proven best receiver heading into the season is who?
Stephon Diggs.
Okay, that was not the answer I was looking for, but that's a good answer.
Proven receiver?
Yeah, Hunter Henry. Because I still think Stephon Diggs. Hunter Henry's going to be an option for you, but when he's open, hit him. Because he's not going to make 800 game-changing plays.
Right.
You need to take the ones where he did beat his guy, ran a great route, maybe did a subtle push-off, got to the outside, hit him in the hands, take the 7 yards, first down, we move forward. So to utilize Hunter Henry, he needs to be accurate.
Right.
I actually would argue that he also needs to be accurate to utilize his next two best weapons, Stephon Diggs and DeMario Douglas.
Yeah, no question.
A lot of their throws are going to be within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage.
Well, yeah, because Pop's your slot receiver, and Diggs, though he was 7th in receptions at the time that he got hurt for the Texans last year, was not anywhere close, as far as I know, in terms of receiving yards. It was much more of a truncated, like, get off the line and catch the ball kind of thing, allowing for Nico Collins and everybody else to open up. So, especially given the offensive line issues that we've talked about ad nauseum, you're not really going to have a choice other than getting the ball out quickly if you want to remain in the pocket.
Correct.
This year.
And therefore, and Ted and I have talked about this. Ted Johnson will join us here at 3 o'clock on WEEI Afternoons. We think the best throw Drake May has is the deep ball down the right sideline.
Mm-hmm.
So if you ask me, if the deep ball down the right sideline can make an NFL career, will Drake May be good? Absolutely.
Right.
He's going to be a star. If you ask me, will throwing on the run across your body 30 yards over the middle of the field make you a star? Can Drake May be a star? Absolutely. If hitting every 5-yard out that you need to hit with the game on the line to move the chains or in the red zone is what decides if you're an NFL star, can I guarantee you Drake May is going to be an NFL star? after today's practice, I can't say yes.
Right.
Because I think that is the weakness in his game.
And of those three, that's the one you simply have to have mastered in order to have staying power in this league.
I also, and this is where I'm interested in Ted's opinion on this, I also think it should be theoretically the quote-unquote easiest thing to get. Like, if you're Tom Brady, or if you're whoever, and I tell you what I need you to do is roll right, there's going to be a linebacker chasing you, he's pretty fast, and then I need you to plant that back foot, throw across the field, kind of fling it sidearm to be able to get enough velocity on it and hit the receiver who's crossing, I don't think a lot of people can do that.
No.
But I can tell.
The degree of difficulty is out of control there.
But I feel like I should be able to coach up the guy who can do that to stand in the pocket, plant his feet, use proper mechanics, and deliver an accurate ball. Accuracy, I think, can be greatly improved upon,
yeah,
more so than athleticism, velocity, all of those things. So this is not a negative. This is just a non-linear development update, I think I'll call it,
yeah,
to appease you people. Non-linear developmental update on Drake May.
Still not something I said.
Easy throw accuracy is, yeah, his biggest issue to work on.
He's just got to show that he's comfortable sitting in the pocket. He's,
yeah,
got to show that he's comfortable with the potential that you're going to sit in the pocket, somebody's going to blow by your young offensive lineman, and you're going to get cracked.
Here's where I join the excuse train, though.
Okay.
How can he show he's...
We boarding that, Stiz?
How can he show he's comfortable standing in the pocket?
How?
When there is no pocket and no one in their right mind would ever be comfortable behind this offensive line. That's part of the equation.
It's not unreasonable to bring that up.
It's easy for me to say, you gotta stay in the pocket. It's easy for Josh McDaniels to say that. You know who it's hard on?
Drake May.
10. Because there are big, large, fast, mean men. Keon White. Have you seen that guy?
Big guy.
He's preaching violence.
Yeah,
Milton Williams is preaching violence.
Even your boy Gibbons was preaching violence,
yes,
yesterday.
So it's easy for you to say, stand in the pocket, they won't hit you. Yeah, easy for you to say. So I think there's something to be said that his accuracy might also improve as his protection improves, and he's more comfortable just standing there surveying the field rather than thinking 1 second, 2 second, oh my God, this is never going to last, I got to get the hell out of here.
Well, because how many games at the NFL level has he played behind a good offensive line?
Zero.
So how many games has he had to work on his accuracy behind a good offensive line?
Yeah, but he's not going to get to it. It's going to be at least year three before he gets to play a game behind a good offensive line.
Well, then we might have to take our lumps in terms of what we expect from him year two versus year one. If that's going to be the case in front of him this year, and based on your observations, that certainly seems to be the case.
It's practice. They're learning. Overreact much? Now, which was the overreaction? When I said he made a great throw to Demario Douglas and everybody went icky baluki on social media on Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
Or saying he missed easy wide open throws today? Which is the overreaction?
I don't know. Which fits the narrative of the texture at the moment?
Yeah, 603. You'll have to answer that. 617-779-7937. If you want to join into the conversation via phone or text, we are reacting to Patriots practice today. We're reacting to Tom Curran calling us out as a show for being wrong-headed radio here 2-6 on WEEI. But up next, we need to react to a very strange Red Sox game.
Ugh.
I'm not going to lie to you. I fell asleep. There was a 90-minute rain delay. Who has rain delays in between the first half and the second half of the ninth inning? Who does that? Jordan Hicks, did he get screwed? Did the Red Sox get screwed? We all get screwed because the Red Sox lost. We'll react to it next here on WEEI.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021 and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
UEEI afternoons. You know you're in trouble, Red Sox, when you get a second disappointed wow from Will Fleming.
Sad Fleming.
Sad Fleming indeed. A weird one. I just want to warn you guys, and you're going to say, oh, this was the time, Andy? I was planning on coming in being very much insufferable, Andy, because going back to early in the year when I said David Hamilton's going to win you baseball games.
Yeah.
Because you all hated him. Steals second, steals third.
Are you out of your mind?
And they take the lead 4-3, and then the freaking skies open up, the wind opened up, and they go to a tarp. I didn't even see the tarp coming. They go to commercial. So
yeah.
The top of the ninth happens.
Yep.
Red Sox do not score. Then they go to the bottom of the ninth, and I'm like, what's that thing on the field, and why is it there? And why didn't you tell us earlier that that was going to be there? Because they knew it was coming, because on TV I'm watching sixth inning, maybe seventh inning, Will Middlebrooks is like, we got to get moving. There is hellacious stuff coming. He said they're predicting 60-mile-an-hour winds and rain.
Yeah.
And it all came.
It looked gnarly.
As soon as they put the tarp down, they showed that footage of like garbage blowing across the field at 50 miles an hour.
They were bringing out the cart with more sandbags to throw onto right. the end of it because you could already kind of see it rippling in the wind. Bad.
And as you heard Alex Cora allude to, Jordan Hicks had been up in the top half of the ninth inning when the Red Sox are scoring, warming up, getting ready to come in because this is the night. You have no Chapman because
yep.
he left the night earlier with the back soreness. You have no Whitlock because he was, I guess, already sick and then got sicker on the flight out there, which was hellacious. We'll talk to the manager of the Red Sox at 3:30 about that. I guess guys were like literally getting sick on the plane. He slept through it, apparently,
yep.
so
yep.
I don't know if he'll offer much insight. But they were undermanned in the bullpen.
They were.
Which they kind of have been all year, especially as guys have started to fall off along the way. And the bullpen did a nice job up until the end when Hicks had to get hot, sit for 90 minutes, get hot again, come back, and not have any idea where the strike zone is or even, you know, avoiding hitting multiple batters. And they lose. Now, I'm not going to go to the extent of there should never be a rain delay halfway through the ninth. The umpire should have awarded the game to the Red Sox, blah, blah, blah. But I will say, is it too much to ask that you maybe give Cora and the Red Sox a heads up that you might not want to warm that guy up now because we're putting the tarp on the field as soon as this half inning ends? Like, I feel like they got screwed a little bit there, either circumstantially or just flat out got screwed.
No, I think there's something to that. And it's the I was reading the rules this morning just to see if there was anything the Red Sox could have done about it. I mean, it's the quote unquote, the absolute power of the crew chief
yeah.
to decide when they go into delay and if they choose to come back or not. But yeah, they're supposed to be, I would imagine there's some kind of like, hey, you know, here's what the radar looks like, guys. This is what we're forecasting. And you bring the head of the grounds crew out there and you have a conversation and this is what we're looking at because, yeah, you were in about the worst place possible because Hicks was your last healthy reliever available.
Yep.
If God forbid they get through or he gives up the one run and they go to extras, I don't know who the hell was going to come out on the mound in the 10th, but that was its own issue. So he was all you had. And yeah, that's as much as you want to point to this went wrong and this went wrong. They were just unlucky last night.
And Hicks might have blown it anyway because he's not that good. There's a reason he's 1-7 with a 6-something ERA, and I stand by every time I watch a game, he throws the ball to the backstop.
Yeah.
This time, the ball didn't go to the backstop because he hit people instead. But the one thing I would say, and I'd never tell Alex Cora how to do his job, but in this situation, if I was a Bill Belichick, Ernie Adams, crazy, maniacal planner.
Going to the league?
No.
Okay.
I know the weather's coming.
Okay.
I can probably even see it visually. I don't warm up Hicks. And then if we go to the ninth, I put Weissert on the mound. He throws one pitch of warm-up and grabs his arm. Oh, we got an injury. This is unfortunate. Hicks is going to have to come in cold, so he gets as many warm-up pitches as he needs. And you know what I mean? You avoid this situation where you warmed him up, and then he sat for an hour and a half and had to go again.
Yeah.
And maybe that's too much advanced planning or foresight, but I just wonder if I was there in the building and I knew I only had one pitcher left,
yeah.
and I knew a rain delay could be coming, and the umps haven't given me any information, because that's the other thing. If the umps told me, no, we're not going to delay this. We're going to get this game in. We're going to get the ninth in. Then I would warm up Hicks, I guess, because
yeah.
I have to trust them.
Just go according to what the plan is that's being given out, as opposed to not being shared a plan at all.
So if I don't have a plan and they're not going to help me, I think I would have done that. I think I would have not warmed Hicks up, put Weissert out there, ask him to stumble on the mound, grab his leg or something. Oh, my calf. I got a calf cramp.
Yeah.
Oh, you go out. You know, you
those are the worst. Oh, yeah. Those
right.
are the worst.
The trainer
man,
comes
yeah.
out. The
no,
ump
take,
comes
take
out.
Take your time. Take
All right,
your time. Don't
Hicks,
rush
you're
it.
Up now. We're going to have to bring you in and you get as many. So it was unfortunate. And it's yeah. an unfortunate loss because it's a good comeback game. You got a big hit from Bregman again, a Bregman bomb. The whole thing. I felt good about this. You got. It was Roman Anthony who walked, I believe, to bring in Hamilton as the pinch runner, right?
Roman Anthony drove
Roman
him
Anthony
in.
He drove him in.
He turned 100
yes.
miles an hour from the Duran around for a base hit to score the run. And the margins are razor thin right
yes.
now as we get closer to the deadline. Because if you won, you would have tied the Yankees for the
Correct.
Top spot in the wild card. But if you lost and the Rangers won, you were out of the playoffs. Luckily, everybody decided to lose
right.
last night.
But you had an opportunity. That would have been a huge win. Now, to get to our vaunted 6-6, you're going to have to win the next two against Minnesota, which tonight should be a good one. They're going to have to go to a bullpen game because they traded their starting pitcher, Paddock,
yes.
yesterday.
Yeah.
So you should have an opportunity to maybe score some runs early in this one, get
you got
to their bullpen.
Two of your best three options to win the next two games. You got Giolito and Bayo coming up over the
yep.
next two games. So you should, theoretically, based on how thin they are right now, be able to get to your 6-6 and win the series. But again, that's of all the one-run losses, and now I think you're up to 21 one-run losses or something to that effect. That's the one where you just go, come on. Like, at a certain point, the baseball gods are just spitting on your face when you're doing stuff like that. That's crazy.
I also was up late enough to, before I went to sleep and then found out the result after the 90-minute rain delay in the morning, I was up late enough to add to my Joe Ryan trade. I still want Joe Ryan.
Okay.
But if the Twins want to throw in Griffin Jacks.
Yeah, very good.
He's freaking awesome.
Yeah, his numbers are a little inflated, so hopefully his value's down
don't
a little bit.
Don't care about his numbers.
He would be tremendous.
I don't mean to be the, like, baseball douche, but his stuff is phenomenal.
Oh, yeah, he's just having a down year.
He made Bregman look silly.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Nasty.
I'll take. So let's make that a blockbuster. Let's improve the bullpen and the starting rotation when we do that deal with the Twins.
I'm in.
About a half hour from now, we'll talk about all things Red Sox with Red Sox manager Alex Cora, the bumpy flight, the bumpy game last night, everything and more. But up next, Ted Johnson, fresh off the practice field. I know he has a lot of thoughts. We'll get to some of those maybe in his three-point stance, and then we'll talk a lot of Patriots training camp practice after the Cora interview. But it's 3 o'clock. It's Ted Johnson. It's three-point stance time. And I'm going to tell you which wide receiver for the Patriots is being disrespected and overlooked by all y'all. That's next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.